Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Well, we thank God for the opportunity to just share the word this morning. We thank God for everyone that's here this morning. Those that are watching by live screening, we just thank you also for being a part of the service here. Okay? If you would, turn your Bibles to Ephesians, the second chapter. If you was here on Wednesday night, you probably heard some of what I'm going to share this morning, but it won't be exact the same, but it'll be sort of the same, okay? All right. We just thank God for the progress that Pastor Terry is making. We thank God that prayers are being answered for his return. And just thank God for him and Miss Brenda. Amen. I just want to share this morning a little bit about from condition to position. Okay? And when you read the book of Ephesians, you know, it's six chapters to the book of Ephesians. But what Paul is doing, you know, he's really building the believer. And he's causing us to recognize who we are in Christ. Okay? And sometimes we jump to the sixth chapter where it talks about spiritual warfare. In 6 and 10, because Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. And he tells us to put on the whole armor of God. But that finally there is a word that we need to pay attention to, because what Paul is saying, I've been teaching you who you are in Christ, what you can do in Christ, who you are in Christ, how to conduct yourself as a believer. And then he jumps and he says, now finally, okay, there's going to be some spiritual warfare taking place. And I mean, you know that really before when we got saved or we became born again, the fight was on. Remember when God told Adam, when they partook of the fruit, he said, I will put enmity between you, your seed, and the seed of the woman. And what God was really saying is there's going to be some spiritual warfare. Amen. And what we have to understand is it's not so much that we are in a place of defeat, but really we fight from a position of victory. Okay? So we have to learn our position, because what the enemy want to convince us of, that there's no change taking place. Okay? That's his job. To cause us to doubt what God has did for us and what Jesus Christ came to do. He wants us to doubt everything that Jesus have come to do for us. Remember, the Bible said, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he will what? Destroy the works of the devil. Another translation says, he came to undo everything that the enemy had done. And he did it perfectly, you know. And when we read the word of God, we have to understand that how many know, we all have a past. We all have a story to tell, okay? And none of us are exempt from a past. But Paul begins, he starts out with this, and he says in the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, he starts out with this. He says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. In whom, now notice the words that he used, in whom you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of this world, okay? And notice he said, the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. And among them, we too formerly, and notice he used the word formerly, so that means that's not where I'm at now, right? He's telling us about our condition before we came to Christ, okay? So he's saying, among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. So what Paul is doing now, he's letting us know. How many know that the world represents the system that was organized by Satan? You say, well, how did that happen? Remember when God told Adam and Eve, he said, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, lest thou shalt what? Surely die. Now, what was God saying? In other words, they would be spiritually separated from God if you partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So that's what brought death into the world. And because of that spiritual death, we also see what? Physical death. Okay? And when we look at this, when God said this, see, God already had it set in motion, because the Bible says in Revelation, how many know, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So it didn't take God by surprise when Adam disobeyed, because God already had a Lamb that was going to be slain. Okay? So what we have to understand, what Paul is saying here, my condition was that I was entrapped and I was dead in my trespasses, spiritually separated from God. Now, a lot of people think, well, if I do good, that gets me to God. How many know that won't work? Okay? Jesus said, you must be born again. Okay? And how many know we've been born from above? Okay? And so when we became born again, what God did, he translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. See, and when Jesus forgave us, how many know the wrath that you and I deserve was poured out on Christ? Amen? The Bible said, he who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My righteousness is not based on my works, because Isaiah says that our righteousness was as filthy rags. But Jesus gave us his righteousness, and what his righteousness gives me is a right standing with God. Amen? A right relationship with him. So therefore, I'm no longer, my condition is no longer that I formerly had these things, that's who I am now. Now I'm in a new position, and that position is in Christ. And you and I have that opportunity to enjoy a relationship with Almighty God, the one that created the stars and the moon and all these things that were created from the beginning, the God that created those things. We are in relationship with him. Amen? So what Paul is saying here, he's saying that, look, this was your condition. Amen? But he didn't stop there. There's a word that he said, but God. But God. So Paul, I believe what Paul is saying, this was your condition, but now I'm about to tell you your position. Amen? And that's what we got to begin to live out of, our position. Because the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things are made new. Amen? So I want to learn how to live out of the new creation. Why? Because when we live out of the new creation, we are being empowered by the Holy Spirit and not flesh. So he says, but God, who is rich in mercy. Now, when we think about this, and the Spirit of God began to deal with my heart about this after Wednesday night, because we really just kind of scratched the surface, because we said, well, you know, when a person is rich, they have what? Limited resources. I mean, they just got it, right? But this is much more than that. Because the mercy, he's rich in mercy because he took his blood and put it on the mercy seat for you and I so that we can come to him boldly anytime we want to and find grace to help, grace and mercy to help in time of trouble. See, he took it, we think, well, he shedded his blood, but you gotta know, you gotta understand something here. We were separated from him, but because of the shedding of blood, how many know there is remission of sin? See, without the shedding of blood, how many know we're still locked into sin? Yeah. But what Jesus Christ came to do is to give his life a ransom for you and I so that we wouldn't just have life, but abundant life. Yeah. And see, what we have to understand that the priest, what he would do was he had to dip his finger in the blood of a bull or a goat, whoever was sacrificed for sin, and he had to go and touch the mercy seat 7 times. Okay? But you got to know something about the priest. Let me explain something to you. The priest had to be what? Blemished. He couldn't have no broke fingers. He couldn't have no sin. He had to be blemished. Watch this now. Remember when Jesus, when they came and arrest Jesus, and they came to him and they arrested him, they said, Jesus looked at them and he said, who are you seeking? And they said, Jesus, and he said, I am, and they just fell back. And they arrested him and they took him and they began to what? Examine him. They begin to question him. You do all these things. What's going on here? You know, they tell us you're raising the dead and all these things. You know, and Jesus said, I didn't do anything secretly. I did it openly. And then when they examine him, they said to him, I found no fault in it. And what they were really doing is setting him up to be offered on the cross. Why? Because he was the lamb that was getting ready to go die for the world. But before he went to the cross, they pronounced him as what? Innocent. I found no fault in him. And that's where the priest had to be. But guess what? Jesus is our high priest. Yes. And he's ever interceding for you and I, praying for us and interceding for us. And you say, well, what do you mean by this? Because this right here, when he say, but God, who was rich in mercy, God gave his son and the son gave his life, right? But when they pronounced him that there's no fault, guess what? He's able to be offered now for the sins of the world. Why? Because there was no fault in him. We know that there was no fault in him, but what they were really doing is setting the priesthood up for Jesus to become our high priest. And when he went to the cross and shedded his blood and he took that blood and put it on the mercy seat, guess what? It was for you and I so that we would be able to come to him boldly without any hindrance, not based on your religion, but based on your relationship, that you can come boldly to the throne of grace. And he said, Paul said, but God. See, and when we look at that, you know, it's a beautiful saying to say, but God. But God. Had it not been for Jesus, but God, I would have still been in my situation. Amen? I would have still been in those situations. I would have still been in the bondage. I would have still been into all these things that held us captive. But God. And when we look at that, he says, but God who is rich in mercy. And see, when you look at the, how many know the Ark of the Covenant, what it represents is what? The presence of God. But it was only, let's check this out. The priest could only do it once a year. And that was for the atonement of sin that had been committed. I'm telling you, when he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, see, and when we look at that, you got to understand something. Mercy is what we needed, because how many know mercy stilled the hand of the punishment? I think Brother Eric said it this morning, or when he was up today, when he was saying that you know, how that Jesus, you know, had mercy on us, how that Jesus came and took our place. I believe it was in Sunday school. So when we look at that, I was thinking, I said, man, he all over my notes here. Let me see that he steal my notes last night. But anyway, I was just kidding you, brother. But when he said that, what he was saying was so true. You know, that Jesus took our place so that you and I would be what? We wouldn't experience the wrath of God. Sure, he died for sin, but do you know, really, he died for the penalty of sin. Because the penalty was the wrath of God came on what? The sons of disobedience. And what we got to understand is that when God began to come and send his son, it's more than just, you know, a salvation, but how many know it is a relationship that he has given us. And when we look at this, that he's rich in mercy, when we begin to see what it took for him to cause us to have mercy, we will enjoy our mercy a lot more and a lot better. Why? Because had he not went and put his blood on that Ark of the Covenant in the mercy seat, guess what? You and I would not have mercy. See, but the priest on the mercy seat, let's talk about the Ark, the way it was covered. I mean, you know, he had cherubims, in other words, two angels facing each other. In the middle of it was the mercy seat. And what the Ark represent was God's presence. See, but now guess where God's presence housed at? We become the Ark of God now. Amen. We're the Ark that's covering now. We're the Ark that's carrying the presence of God. See, he made it possible when he said, but God, who is rich in mercy. See, my position with him gives me liberty, and that's what he said. He came to do what? Give us freedom. And my freedom is not based on how much money I got in the bank, or how many cars I got to drive, or how many houses I got to live in. What you got to understand is my freedom is based on Christ. See, and I'm not depending on the system that's called the world. But there's another system that I have connected to, and it's called the kingdom of God. And in this system, there is no shortage. In this system, there is no respect to person. In this system, guess what? We have it all. Amen. He has freely given us all things. He has freely given us all things. See, and when he says, but God, you know, and I thought he's rich in mercy. Do you know another word for mercy is compassion? Compassion. Love. See, you notice when Paul talks about mercy, he always say grace and mercy. And grace is all connected with it. And guess what? Mercy and grace. Amen. How many know the song says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen? So he's saying, but mercy, but God. See, and mercy, it releases us to forgive us, and also it withholds the punishment. For example, God showed mercy on us when he sacrificed his son. It was for you and I that he sacrificed his son. See, my position now, I'm coming out of my condition of my past, but guess what? My position in Christ is where I got to begin to live out of. Because what the enemy want to convince you of, that nothing happened. But you know yourself that something happened. You know there's a change in your life. You know God has came and redeemed you and changed you and put you in a place, amen, that you can look back and say, hey, yeah, I remember I used to do that, but now I don't have a desire for that. Why? Because he's changed me. See? And he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he has loved us. See, the Bible said that God so loved the world that he what? He gave. See, and the devil, what he want to get us to do, what the enemy is trying to set us up for, he think, well, you got to work for this. You got to perform for this. But see, you're going to see here in just a little bit, watch what Paul says here. Paul is going to cover this in a way that is so wonderful. He says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with him. By grace, you are saved. That's my position. See, he's beginning to explain my position in Christ, your position in Christ. Even when we were dead, verse 6, he says, and raised us up with him. That's my position. I've been raised up with him. Paul said this in the Galatians. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. And you say, well, how in the world was you crucified with Christ? The Bible said, he who knew no sin became sin. He became everything that we will experience without sinning. So when we go through, sometimes we think, well, God, do you understand? He probably said, yes, I understand. I understand. I came to my own, and my own didn't even receive me. I told them I love them. I was preaching the gospel of love, and they called me Beelzebub, the Lord of flies. Say, and we got to understand he did it all just for who? I'm going to make it personal, me. You got to make it personal. He did it for you. See, okay? And raised us up with him. So when Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, what Paul was saying, my sin was on the cross with him. And when he died, guess who else died? I died with him. Who is the I? What he's talking about is the sin nature. The sin nature. See, sin has already been taken care of. Sin shouldn't have dominion over the church. Why? Because Christ is what? He's taking care of the sin problem. Now we got to take care of our identity problem. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Our identity problem. Because that's what the enemy, he did the same thing to Jesus when he said, if you are, now God had already just pronounced the previous chapter, the latter chapter of St. Matthew 3, the latter chapter, what did God say? This is my what? My beloved son in whom? And the enemy come right back. The Bible said the spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the first thing the devil asked, if you are. What is he trying to do? He's trying to do what? His identity. He's attacking his identity. And you know what Jesus said? He didn't fuss back with him. He said, it's written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. And then the devil take him a little bit further. He said, look, I'm going to show you all the glory of the world. if you would just bow down and just worship me. What is they trying to offer us now? Hey, come on, man. Look at here what all you can have. Amen. But I remember this pastor told me one time, he said, Pastor, he said, Brother John, let me tell you something. He said, if the devil bring you the world on a platter, he said, take the platter. I said, okay. But what he was telling me, I mean, you know, he's going to offer you the world, but take the platter. Yeah. Amen. Why? Because, see, what he didn't realize, and Jesus told him, he said, hey, it's only God whom we should worship. Yeah. It's only God whom we should serve. See, and that's what Paul said. We don't need to be conformed to this world, but we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen. We got to change the way we think. We got to change the way we talk. Why? Because we're in a new system, and the system that we're in, it operates by faith. Amen. And we have a big God that's covering the government of our new system, and it's Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying here, he said, this is our position in Christ. We've been seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ, so that in the age to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Let's look at Hebrews for a second here, okay? Hebrews chapter 2. I hope this is this making sense to you? I hope it is. Okay? Because when we look at that, his mercy, I think there's a song that says, his mercy never fail us. You know? And when we look at that, his mercy never fails us. Okay? Hebrews 12, verse 14. It says, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, and that is the devil. Many know Jesus stripped him of his authority and his power. Revelation said he has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He took his keys from him. And I want to give you a little insight. Guess what he turned around and did and gave the keys to the church? You said, no, he didn't do that. Yes, he did. You remember he told Peter when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? He said, look, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven, but what you bind in earth is bound in heaven. What you loose in earth is loosed in heaven. Now, people go around trying to bind the devil. That ain't what he's talking about. You know, because if we could bind him, guess what? We'd already had him bound. But he's talking about those things that's trying to hinder us from entering into his kingdom. He's given us authority, church. Yes. Amen. But we have to pick up the keys and begin to use them. Yes. What are keys for? To be used. Yes. What do they do? They can unlock and they can lock. Yes. Amen. They can crank cars. And open doors. That's right. Yes. So he's saying here that in Hebrews, what he's saying here is that in verse, let me go back and read that. Did I finish reading it? Verse 14. I started verse 14. I stopped. When he says that he has what? Less who had the power of death, that is the devil, watch this, and might free those whom through fear of death, were subject to slavery all their lives. And how many know he set us free from slavery? Yes. Jesus said, that I don't no longer call you slave, but I call you friends. He said, because I call you friend, whatsoever the Father revealed to me, I'm going to make known to you. See, he said, but a slave don't know what his master does. So we're not slaves. We're sons and daughters of the high God. Amen? But surely he does not give hope to angels, but he gives help. Excuse me. He does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. How many know we're descendants of Abraham because of Christ? Therefore, he had to be what? Made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and a faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God. See, he's a merciful high priest. He's not, the other priests, all they could do is one year they could go and sprinkle the mercy seat. And it was called the atonement for sin. But if you break that word down and you spell it and break it down, you got A-T, okay, at one meant. Because the atonement was only for a year, but Jesus did it for eternity. Yes. He didn't just cover our sins, he took our sins. Yes. See? And we've been what? At one meant with him. Why? Because we have relationship. Yes. Amen. So he's a merciful and a faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, who made propitiation for the sins of the people. So he's our mercy. See, and that's what Paul was saying. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy. Have you ever been going through and you just said, Lord, have mercy. When is this going to pass? Am I the only one? Lord, have mercy. When I say that, then the word of God says, some people say, well, how long will his mercy last? Glad you asked. Psalm 51 says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Psalms 118, verse 1, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That's something to clap about, amen? His mercy. You know what that lets me? Oh. Forever. You say, well, what do I have to do to earn that? You don't have to do anything. He said he freely gives us all things through Christ. Yes. Lamentations 3 and 22, he says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. You know, when I think about that, that's when you done blew it. And some people say, oh, he gonna get you. Oh, he gonna love me. I'm learning that my Father loves me. Amen. Even his chastisement don't feel good, but I know it's working for my good. Thank you, Jesus. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. See, it ain't my faithfulness. I want to be faithful, but what he's saying here, great is your faithfulness. And guess what? He is a faithful God. He's not going to leave us. All this chaotic stuff that's going on in the world, guess what? He's still here. He's still in me. He won't pack up and leave because things get difficulties. But I'm going to tell you what God is looking for out of his body is maturity. So that we will grow up and begin to understand that God is for us and not against us. Amen. Amen. He's merciful. Yes. He's kind. Yes. He's loving. Yes. See, and what we have to understand, that's what Paul was trying to allure. He was saying, but God, rich in mercy. Yes. He's rich in mercy. In other words, every morning there's a new mercy for you and I. Think about it. His mercy steals the hand of the enemy. We've been through a lot of stuff in the last, 2000, since COVID-19 and on up to now. We've been, just things have been happening. Things have been going on. But let me tell you something. It didn't catch him by surprise. He said, I just want my body to come to maturity and understand that I'm not against them, I'm for them. See, and sometimes what the storm do, it pushes us to God. See, and sometimes it will try to push you away from God. But I'm telling you, don't run from him, run to him. Why? Because he has the answers. Amen? It might seem hard, it might seem like it ain't fair, but guess what? Favor ain't fair no way. But his purpose in you and I is favorable. God has put favor on us. Why? Because of his grace and his mercy. See, and God has paid for your mercy. God is not trying to punish us. He's not trying to bring his wrath. How many know the wrath has been poured out on Christ? And what we got to understand is just receive what he's done for us. It's by faith. We appropriate it by faith. We read it in the word, we believe it, and we just act on it. It's not that hard. Amen? All right. In closing, notice he said, and I want you to catch this psalm right here, because he says, Psalm 51:1, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassions, blot out my transgressions. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I like what Pastor Charlie said. We're just going to praise him. We're just going to praise him. You know what praise does? It steals the hand of the enemy. It stops him in his tracks. You know, he began to question himself, what's wrong with these people? All this stuff I done did, and all the stuff you done did. That's right. But how many know we're praising God for all the stuff he has done? Amen? We're not praising him, amen, just to get something. Some people say, you got to praise God to get it. Honey, let me tell you, it's already a done deal. When Jesus said, it is finished, never to be repeated. Guess what? The grocery store is open and you need to go shopping. Why? Because God has already provided for you. It's already, provision has already been made. He says, seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open. Ask and it shall be given. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Why? Because the door is going to be open. See? But what we got to understand is we can't allow the devil to keep putting us back in our condition because it don't exist no more. The Bible says your sins and your iniquities will I not remember. They'll be as far as the east is from the west. How many know? I did this one time. I said, wait a minute, God. As far as the east from the west, they'll never come together. They're going in the opposite direction every time. He said, that's how far I've put it away, John. My blood has put it out of I don't even remember it. Why do you keep bringing it up? His love never fails us. Amen? Stand to your feet. Be through. Look at your neighbor and say, thank God for his mercy. for it never fails. It never fails. Amen. It never fails. Father, we just thank you today, Lord. And God, we thank you for your people, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord God. We praise you for the progress of Pastor Terry, Lord. And God, we thank you, Lord, that you're going to complete that healing in his body, Lord. And God, we thank you for your people today, Lord. And God, we pray that this word will be strength to them, Lord. And God, we pray, God, that you will bless them throughout the week, Lord. Keep them safe, Lord. And as we depart from this place, God, never your presence. Watch over us and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.